Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is the Empowerment Place with your host, Valerie Burwell. Excited about opportunities being presented, doors being opened. I'm just really excited about the great people that God has allowed to come into my path so that we can share, build each other, promote that which has been given to us, and just share openly about the things concerning people. This evening, I have with me author Hannah Spivey, who's the author of several. She's written My Sherry, Amore, Payback is an SOB, Lloyd Tube, and Ebony, the Beloved. I'm talking about the wonderful Hannah Spivey. Hannah, you want to say hello and just tell the people a little bit about yourself?
Well, hello out there, listeners, and I do thank you for having me on the show. I am a first-time published author of Ebony, the Beloved. It's been out for almost 2 years, and I've been doing ongoing promotions for the book, as well as with without domestic violence, child abuse, and bullying. I'm originally from South Florida. I was born in Miami, and born and raised in Miami, and I was staying with my folks in Fort Lauderdale, and I relocated to Atlanta last year. I have an associate's degree in business administration. I am working on my second novel called The Bold and the Ugly Truth, which has a totally different focus from Ebony the Beloved. I do plan to put out more books in the future. I also do PR for emerging writers like myself to help them get heard on the radio and through various blogs like myself. And that's pretty much it.
That's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot. I'm excited to have Hannah with me today because I've been reading through and going back a couple times her book, Ebony the Beloved. And it speaks to several things that are very real and prevalent in many people's lives today. One being domestic violence, so very clearly, and how it comes about. But Ebony, I guess my question is, with this book that you released, what was the driving force that placed in you Ebony the Beloved and allowed you to release it?
I'm just loving fiction and having a way with words, and I wanted the book to be based loosely off my life. I wanted to write a book, a very compelling book, you know, that will get the reader to think, you know, they've never been abused before, that it may give them a different perspective about abuse. And I said, I always say this to every interviewer, I want to write a book that wasn't quite written. There are a lot of great books, very compelling and riveting novels about abuse. But I wanted to be the type of author who holds nothing back at all.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I put all my emotions and my thoughts, and, you know, everything into this book. And I said, when this book comes out, it is definitely going to, I mean, it's going to start a chorus of gasps. I mean, people are like, wow. I definitely want to write a book that touches a lot of people, especially if they've been abused before.
Right.
So just loving fiction and having a way with words and just feeling like I needed to write this book based off some of my experiences are the driving force to me writing the book.
I think it's in your foreword. Let me go there because I got the book in front of me. Let me do this. You mentioned something about, let me go here. You said, I also thank my former and biggest cyber nemesis and her naysaying cohorts for giving me ambition and ammunition to become the epic success that I am. That was so profound, because you talked about those that, you know, those spectators and emulators, and you talked about those things. But it's that type of person, those types of people who, if not handled properly, could really put somebody's fire out. And so I applaud you for having to deal with this piece and still going forward. Because, if you know, when you look at your scenario about domestic violence in this book and how it's formulated and how it's expressed, to know that your book was going to be this vivid, I mean, like when you're reading it, you can smell the stench, you can see the dogs, you can hear the, it becomes a movie, it's a picture, it begins to move. You can vividly see what's taking place as you're reading the book. But to go to that depth and to have the naysayers and the ones who were observing, was it easier to handle them after the book was published than while you were going through it?
I would say after, because I definitely wanted to have something to show for it. I definitely wanted to say that, look how far I've come. You know, this is one of my greatest accomplishments, to be able to pen a book and to, you know, showcase it to the world. So I think it came after the book being officially released.
So have any of those emulators, replicators, spectators, opinionators, those motivators changed their mind towards the things they say about you now?
I would say that's neither here nor there at this point. If they haven't changed their minds, then I guess it goes to show that, you know, I've accomplished something that they could never accomplish.
Absolutely. That's key. And I ask that question because there may be some that are listening and they're like, how do you talk about all of that and then still make it, and does it matter? And you're right. It really doesn't matter what they do or how they entreat you. As long as you stay purpose-driven in what you have to do, that other stuff doesn't matter, because they don't make you or break you. And I think too often people have allowed those outside influences to break them when it comes to doing something to this magnitude that you've done. Now, tell me your thoughts about domestic violence. Tell me what that means to you.
When I think of domestic violence or see domestic violence, I think of violence, of course. I think of violence in the home. I think of manipulation, mind control, and fear. Those are the components that come to mind when I think of domestic violence or see it.
Fear. I don't. Yeah. I like I was sharing with you before we went on the air. I experienced it, and there are some components of fear, instability, shame.
Wow.
It takes your fizz away. Your self-esteem vanishes because at the point that you're in an abusive situation, you wonder if you even matter. Mm. If you even matter. So so tell me, for the listeners, because of course you can buy the book, but just give them a little bit of history. Give them some background about Ebony the Beloved.
Ebony, of course, starts with a 15-year-old girl named Ebony Starks. She is from Miami, Florida. She grew up in the city parts of Miami. She grew up in the heart of Miami, and she lived in a broken household with both of her parents, who were like night and day. They argued like cats and dogs, and they treated her poorly and worse than her younger sister. And they didn't really love Ebony. And when people read the book, they'll see why they treated her the way they treated her.
Mm-hmm.
And her peers, they constantly, she was bullied in school. You know, other kids made fun of her. And she found solace through reading books and expanding her vocabulary. And the only person who's ever given her the time of day, her name was Norma Lou. And Norma Lou was never, she worked at her school. She was a faculty member. And she's never wed or had children of her own. And she saw that Ebony's been through a lot. At first, she didn't take too kindly to Ebony. But when she got to know Ebony, she realized that Ebony has been picked on and beat on all her life. Ebony needed guidance, not, you know, criticism.
Right.
So, yeah, she takes Ebony under her wings, and she tells Ebony that she's not only beautiful on the outside, but she's beautiful on the inside as well. And, I mean, she molds Ebony into a different and to a self-loving person. And Ebony begins to feel good about herself for the first time in her short 15 years. And then Norma Lou introduces her to Tara, who is a domestic violence survivor and a single mm-hmm. parent. And she's also a counselor, an advocate for women who are also, you know, trying to come out of a violent relationship or have survived a violent relationship. And fast forward to the domestic violence benefit concert is with Tara and Ebony goes. It's like a celebrity. It's pretty much, it's headed by celebrities. It's basically a domestic violence benefit concert. And they raise the awareness as well as they take donations, and that money goes towards aiding victims of domestic violence.
Yeah.
You know, women who just left their abusive spouses, and they're dispossessed, and they need help with establishing their self-sufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And at his benefit concert, Ebony meets Desmond Waltz, who is the host, and he's also a spokesperson for Domestic Violence Awareness. Now, he is a world-renowned public figure. I mean, he's worth millions of dollars,
mm-hmm.
27 years old, very handsome, sex symbol. But, of course, you know, in the light, you know, he has this pristine, clean image, squeaky clean.
Right.
He meets her. He's very charming, very charismatic. You know, everything, because mind you, Ebony's never been in a relationship. She's only 15
right.
years old.
Yeah.
But behind closed doors, he's very abusive, sadistic,
mm-hmm.
and controlling.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Ebony finds herself in a worse situation. I mean, from being abused at home to being abused by one of the most powerful public figures in the world, and his mother also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Ebony's like, she feels stuck. She doesn't know what she's going to do next, where she's going to go. I mean, her entire objective was to find love and acceptance, but she looked for
yeah.
it in the wrong place after
yeah.
meeting with Norma Lou. And pretty much, people ask me, well, did she find a way out? You have to read the book and see.
Absolutely.
At the top of the book, it'll say, how far is she willing to go to be happy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she may, obviously, Ebony will find herself doing something that she, not even in her wildest dreams, she wouldn't even find herself doing something like that in her wildest dreams. I'll say that much.
Yeah. Yeah. Get the book.
Yeah.
Get the book. It's, when you talk about domestic violence, and myself having worked with women who have been subjected to that, women and men both actually, who've been subjected to domestic violence, one thing that's a necessary component for them is to get out of the cycle. And like you said with Ebony, your character, Ebony had never really known love. She had not experienced it, didn't know what it really was supposed to feel like, look like, any of that, because it just didn't happen. So, you know, it's like you look at a book and the cover looks great and you think it's going to be a good read, and you open it up and begin to read and you see, this is not doing anything for me. That's how I saw this gentleman and the family situation, is that you would have thought it would have been lovely, lovely, but the reality is it was a mask. And I think that people who have been subjected, you know, they need to learn signs of what to look for and what not to look for. And when things start to happen, you know, try to get out as soon as you can, because just hanging around is only going to cause more pain.
Sure.
That's what I've experienced. You know, that when mm-hmm. you see these things begin to happen, it's not a good end. It's not a good end. It's not a good end. So where you are in Atlanta, do you do anything working with domestic violence, or do you do any public speaking regarding bullying or any of those things in your area?
No, I haven't been able to do it locally because I've been working with some clients, some other author clients. But my goal and dream is to, you know, do more speaking engagements about domestic violence, speak about the book. If anybody out there that's listening, you know, I can definitely use support as far as, you know, doing speaking engagements about this epidemic as well as the novel. You know, be a voice for those who are still in domestic violence relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But I would definitely love to do more speaking engagements in Atlanta if I had more resources. So I pretty much spend most of my time networking from home, and I'm sure someday it'll come to pass where I will be able to speak around the country and you know, in different venues about those topics.
Yeah, make an impact. With that, and I ask that question simply because I know a few people in Atlanta.
And oh, so okay.
Again, I'm going to pass this on, this information, pass your information on to a pastor and a few friends that I know in that area, that, I mean, they have women's conferences and different things, and it may be a good opportunity for you to get that audience and that stage that you desire. And it's needed. That's the one thing about domestic violence. It's not in any particular region. It's global. It doesn't just happen in the rich neighborhoods. It happens in the poor neighborhoods. It doesn't just happen to whites. It happens to blacks and Hispanics and Asians. Nobody is exempt. Nobody is exempt from domestic violence, unfortunately. And it happens to men as well as women. So that, and along with children, it's just so much. Abuse just, it's out there. And it needs to be addressed. So tell us, you said you've got another book that you're working on. Give us some insight on what's coming up.
The next book I'm working on is called The Bold and the Ugly Truth, and I'm sure it's going to pretty much piss off a lot of people. it's about a televangelist who, he's what I call your modern-day Malcolm X. And he pretty much attacks religion and a lot of stuff that's going on in the world. He attacks the government. He attacks the president. He attacks the GOP, what's his name? What do they refer to the president? The POS. President. I mean, he attacks everything in the whole. He pretty much combats with social issues, socioeconomic. I mean, he is just.
He is mouth almighty, tongue everlasting.
Yeah.
By any and everything.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, he's like, you know, I'm this pastor and I'm making all this money off my congregation and they barely can afford to take care of themselves and their family or keep a roof over their heads and, you know, I'm living off them. Mm. You know, I'm this pastor. I should be doing better than what I'm doing. So he begins to, you know, question his Christianity and he pretty much catch a lot of backlash for revealing to his congregation that he no longer wants to, you know, do what he does anymore. He doesn't want to be an evangelist anymore. Who would want to give up millions of dollars a year, you know, fame and all that fame just so they could find themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called A Bold and the Ugly Truth for a reason because it's definitely going to catch some people, a lot of people off guard. Not some people, but a lot of people off guard. So I do anticipate on releasing the book in the summer.
Okay.
In the summer, I do plan to release the book. I'll be self-publishing that book.
Okay, great.
And many other books. There will be a sequel to Ebony the Beloved soon. So people have asked me, well, do you plan to write a sequel for Ebony the Beloved? Do you plan to write a series of Ebony the Beloved, and I say, yes, I do. I don't know about a series, but there will be a sequel to Ebony the Beloved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
So for those who haven't read the book, you can definitely get the book on Amazon. You can get the paperback version for $14. Or if you prefer to download it from Kindle, it is available on Kindle for 99 cents. You can also purchase a copy from Barnes and Noble, from eBay, or BooksAMillion.com. And the ebook version is only available on Kindle, and it's only $1, so you can't beat that.
Yeah. Mine wasn't $1 when I got it, but I got it anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Now, with your second book and, you know, based on what you were sharing, I think you may get some eyebrows raised. It's captivating enough, but it's happening. So I think that, that'll be good. That'll be good because I'm seeing that. So that's mm-hmm. good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Now, you said you're self-publishing. What if someone's listening right now and they like, I have an idea about a book, but I don't know what to do, where to go. What steps do I take to get my book out there?
Research. you know, research is the first place you want to begin doing. You won't know how to get started without doing your research.
Okay.
You can look up, you know, how to publish a book or how to become a published author. If you're going to self-publish a book, then you may want to look up, you know, how to self-publish a book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of free sources out there. I'm sorry, free resources out there for aspiring authors who wish to self-publish their books. Because a lot of authors, well, I take that back, aspiring authors, who aren't very familiar with the publishing business,
mm-hmm.
they feel that they think that it's mandatory to sign with a publisher, to find
right.
a literary agent when it's not a requirement. You can self-publish a book, and it doesn't cost a lot of money to publish a book either.
Okay. Okay.
So you can't even afford to publish a get your book available in print because you find it costly, which is not that costly. You can always start off with an e-book.
Right.
For those who have published a book and their books are also available on Kindle, if their paperbacks haven't sold much, their e-books usually make up for the difference.
Right. Okay.
So you can price your e-book for like $1, which is usually like the most popular and most convenient way of selling your book. Usually most authors, especially new authors, they'll start off with an e-book first.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that you were working with some other authors. What do you do to help authors? What does that relationship look like?
I do, I pretty much do the same thing for them that I do for myself. I pretty much get them, I've gotten authors heard on numerous blog talk radio shows. I'm also focused on getting them featured in online magazines as well as literary blogs. I'm also part of a PR network on Facebook where I network with other PR representatives to, you know, helping them further their careers and mine as well. I also use social media, you know, to helping them get more exposure because sometimes, you know, you think that you can't find a treasure like either on Twitter or Facebook. I came across a lot of people who said that they don't really use Twitter, but I find Twitter to be very beneficial. That's how I found clients and how I was able to get them, you know, more exposure than they expect. So that's how I normally do it. I use social media, like such as mostly LinkedIn, Facebook, mm-hmm. Twitter, and Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Awesome. So if there's somebody that's listening now or will listen later, and they're interested in reaching out to you for some guidance or some, you know, to collaborate with an idea that they have, how do they find you?
They can find me on Facebook, Hannah Bobana. It's my Facebook name, Hannah Bobana, B as in boy, O, B as in boy, A, N as in Nancy, A, Hannah Bobana is my Facebook name. Also have a fan page called Hannah Dorothy Spivey. Again, Hannah Dorothy Spivey. This name is my fan page. They can also reach out to me on Twitter at Boss Lady Writer. Like when you write something, Boss Lady Writer is my Twitter name. They can also reach out to me via email at bossladywriter@gmail.com.
All right. You heard it, listeners. If you're one of those who has an idea for a book or you need some PR assistance or you'd just like to tap into what Hannah has done successfully, that she may be able to give you some guidance, she's out there. You can find her. You can definitely find her, and I'm sure she will be a benefit to that which you're endeavoring to do. Yeah. So, for those that are listening to the broadcast today and you have a Kindle account, I'm going to bless the first 10 either my inbox on Facebook or an email at empower_yourself@yahoo.com. The first 10, I will bless you with the book if you don't have it on Kindle version so that you can get some exposure to Hannah and Hannah can get more exposure, okay? Hannah, thank you so much for your time. For sharing, and I just believe that there's going to be an opportunity for you to do a collaborative work, even with the domestic violence and the bullying and that which is close to your heart, that there's going to be an opening that reaches out to you for your input and something that'll be larger than you imagine. So get ready for that.
Thank you.
Get ready for that. Ladies and gentlemen, again, I've been grateful to have with me Hannah Spivey, the author of Ebony, the Beloved, captivating book that will definitely get your attention. Hannah, thank you so much. Let me know when that next book comes out. You can come and we can talk about it, okay?
Will do.
Thanks so much. Listening audience, as always, do something to empower yourself daily, and after you've been empowered, empower someone else. Until next time, thanks for joining us.
Good night.